Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the wounded Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Are you happy with life? Happy with your life? If you took an inventory of your thoughts, of your words, of your deeds, what would you conclude? If you considered all that is going on in the world around you at any given moment, what would your thoughts be? Well, rather quickly, our thoughts tend to move to the current state of the economy, to the campaigning crusades of various politicians, and the corrupted ethics of our society in general, all certainly a far cry from the very standards that God Himself gives to us in His Word. As today begins the season of Lent, we begin a time of penitential reflection upon ourselves. It's not a navel-gazing in a self-centered, self-righteous kind of a fashion. Rather, it is the kind of introspection exhorted by the very prophets of old. And so through these 40 days, do not go easy on yourself. Make no excuses for your failures. Confess all your sin and admit to your guilt. Rend your hearts, not your garments, says the Lord. And certainly, our Lenten hymnody helps in this path. From the hymn, Jesus, Refuge of the Weary, do we pass that cross unheeding, breathing no repentant vow? Though we see you wounded, bleeding, see your thorn-encircled brow. Jesus, may our hearts be burning with more fervent love for you. May our eyes be ever turning to behold your cross anew. From another we hear, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. And from the hymn that lends its title to our sermon series, what Thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but Thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior. 'Tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor and grant to me thy grace. The season of Lent is really a time in the church year to let it all sink in. All that Jesus has done for you and for your salvation. Not as though you do not do so already or haven't done so in your life already, but this season really does have at its core this as its purpose. For only when one is fully hit by the severity of their sinfulness, by the depth of their depravity, by the crisis of their corruption, can the fullness of the gospel in Jesus be received with the greatest and purest of joys. The prophet Joel's words themselves, given to him by God to speak, called the Hebrew people to task for their betrayal of God. And Israel's fall in the northern kingdom would not happen still for another century to go. Nevertheless, this was God's word to his prophet to announce this word of repentance to all his people, the all-important work of the prophets. Warning after warning then was trumpeted. Blow a trumpet on Zion, Joel announced. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. A day of darkness and gloom. Fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. For the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? The day of the Lord did come for the Israelites, and at one point then they were laid to waste. Even the faithful among those who remained were wounded. And so it is today. You and I are called to repentance by God's holy word. The Ten Commandments stand ever before you and me, revealing our sins of idolatry, of false belief, of dishonor, of rebellion, of apathy toward those who are in need, of lustful and wandering eyes, of slandering of each other's names, and of overall lack of satisfaction, of contentment with all that God has given us. We truly do have so much of which we must repent. And yet God does not want a big show of our sorrow. No ripping of clothes, no dousing yourself in sackcloth or in ashes. Rather, like the Jews who heard Peter's Pentecost sermon, God wants your hearts broken and contrite. He wants your heart that is severed clean through by his all-consuming and all-powerful word. Have you ever taken the fall for someone else? Have you ever said that you did something wrong so that a friend or a loved one of yours would not get into trouble? Was it worth it? Was it rewarding for you? And would you do it again? Has anyone ever done that for you? Taken the punishment or the blame for something wrong that you did? How did that make you feel? Embarrassed? Ashamed? Grateful? Well, many people today do not think that our God is a loving God. He allows too much injustice in this world for them to accept him as a loving God. Such a view does not rightly understand what our true condition is, the condition of all people. For there are none who are good, not a one, Paul quotes from Romans 3. And a few short verses later, he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so what we deserve from God is so much more than what we actually receive in a bad way. The terrible things that do happen in this world are but a mere fraction of what could happen to all of us if God was not a loving God at all. And so most assuredly, we take comfort in knowing that our God is truly the God of love. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, as Joel gets to proclaim to his hearers. That is why the cry can go up before God for the people to return to him. He is gracious, he is merciful, and he does relent over disaster. And while his perfect justice demands that all people must suffer for their sin, for all their grievous sin, the Lord God's perfect love allows for a substitute. He allows for one to stand in our place and to suffer all in our stead. God Almighty, out of nothing but his undying love for his creation, he has sent his only begotten Son to be your Savior from sin. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, is that Savior wounded for you? You who are wounded by sin in this world, dead in trespasses and in sin. And it was Jesus alone who remained before Peter, James, and John after his holy transfiguration. The great prophets Moses and Elijah who stood with Jesus, they could not compare with the Lord's Christ. And so it is Jesus alone who takes on the very blame for your sin. Every single accusation that God's perfect justice brings against you and me for every sin that we commit, Jesus stands in and he says, "It was me." Jesus, in bearing all sin in his holy body unto the cross, he announces before God that he himself is God's enemy. He is the one who has rebelled against God, even though, as we heard, Jesus himself never once sinned. He became every sin and every sinner before God. And so he took all of that upon himself to the cross. And every dreaded sin that this world has seen and has been responsible for, our Lord Jesus took the blame for. And you and I should never take such sacrifice lightly or for granted. To abuse such a gift and such a blessing from our Lord would be the greatest of insults. Rather, love for Christ grows more and more with our awareness of truly how much he loves us. And remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. These are the most humbling of words. They truly do level the playing field for all. For no one is exempt from their claim. All have sinned, and all shall die. And that blackened mark upon your forehead reminds you and reminds others who see that mark of this most somber truth. And yet that mark upon your brow is the mark of the cross, the very sign of God's mercy. Of his grace. Jesus' death upon the cross, that is your salvation, your redemption. And that salvation, that redemption, he freely gives you in the very waters of holy baptism, where Jesus covered you with his own righteousness, taking your very sin, which is as black as ash, and making it as white as snow. And the body and blood of your very wounded Redeemer, you receive into your own body and blood, making him one with you forevermore. For Jesus has borne your iniquities. He has been wounded for your transgressions. So you shall live forevermore as the dear people of God that you already are by his grace. Yes, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You will live, and you will be raised to eternal life, and all because of what Jesus has done. In his sacred name, amen. And the very peace that passes all of our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.